The Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasured chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, growing up, my family always celebrated Dia de los Reyes Magos, the Three Kings Day. Every January 6th, we'd celebrate the day when the three wise men followed the star to Bethlehem, where they arrived bringing their treasured gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's the day known elsewhere as Epiphany. But it's popular in Mexican culture to set out shoes the night before to be filled with gifts from the three kings. Being crafty and not obvious at all, when I was a child, I always set out the largest pair of shoes that I owned. My sister, in her modesty, would set out a small ballet flat or a traditional tennis shoe, but not me. I always went for the rain boot because quantity has always mattered a great deal to me. And I'm not sure that the kings, my parents, actually gave me more, but just in case they wanted to shove a little extra candy in there, I always made sure that there was room. We celebrated the holiday with my children this year because I want them to know their cultural heritage and the traditions and liturgical days of the church. But those poor children, their shoes are so tiny, you can't really fit much in them. But I'll tell you that the wise men were really grateful because after Christmas this year, there wasn't a whole lot left to give. Dia de los Reyes Magos, or Epiphany, is often a day that gets overlooked in the church. Jesus has been born, and now we make the journey to Easter, often breezing quickly through all the events that happen in between. But if we're willing to stop and pause for a moment, then I think that we'll find that there are lights that beckon us from Bethlehem to Calvary. Lights that beckon all of us as Christians beyond just having faith in the birth and the resurrection of Jesus. There are invitations, callings, and offerings for us at nearly every turn in this life. Why don't we pray? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. The trouble with stars that beckon us to follow them is that we can never know at the onset of our journey where the light will lead us. The invitation is simply extended, like the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." The light may present itself in many different forms, perhaps as an unexpected opportunity, a new relationship, a chance for adventure, or maybe even a crisis or a loss. anything really, that calls us from beyond ourselves to a new place or a new way of being, this is our star. Although, it should be said that in the end, it doesn't really matter what the source of the light is. The great preacher Barbara Brown Taylor begins her sermon on the journey of the wise men this way. Once upon a time, there were some very wise men who were all sitting in their own countries, minding their own business, when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each of them. It was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imagination, but they were wise enough to know that it didn't matter. The point was, something beyond them was calling them, and it was a tug they'd been waiting for their whole lives. And so these wise men set off, as do we whenever light beckons us, not knowing what the journey will mean when we consent to it. Sometimes, truth be told, we never know. All we have is the light, the desire, the opportunity, or the pain to guide us. Poets, I think, understand best what drives us forward on such journeys. W.H. Auden writes in The Voice of the Magi, "All we know for certain is that we are three old sinners, that this journey is much too long, that we want our dinners and miss our wives, our books, our dogs, but we have only the vaguest idea why we are what we are. To discover how to be human now is the reason we follow the star." Isn't that beautiful? To discover how to be human now is the reason we follow the star. I like to imagine that the journey for the wise men was arduous. It was the middle of the night after all. Their feet must have been exhausted. They probably would have much preferred to be asleep in the comfort of their own homes, but there was something in that star, something that invited them to know, like the poet said, why they are what they are. A discovery that would illumine the reason for their being, so they pressed on, not knowing where the road would lead. My friends, I have a really strong conviction this morning that for each one of us, there is a light that has come. And it's likely different for all of us. Again, maybe for some of you, it's some kind of opportunity you didn't expect. A door has opened for you, and you're wondering if you should walk through it. For others of you, maybe it's a new relationship or friendship that has taken you by surprise. And still for others of you, it may be a loss or a crisis of some kind that has come upon you. Pain, too, always has an invitation for us, though, don't you know? We'd much rather bypass pain and not lean into it, but in its own way, it, too, is a star beckoning us towards something. You see, whatever it is, part of being people of faith is trusting that what comes to us is for us. Whether that's opportunity, relationship, crisis, or pain, everything has an offering for us. Everything, if you can believe it, truly is for us and not against us. So whatever it may look like for you today, there is a light that is shining and asking you to arise and to follow. And if you consent to follow, you likely will not know where it will lead. But that is the extraordinary aspect of the human experience that asks of us great courage. To lean on the wisdom of the writers once again, André Gide writes, "In order to reach a distant shore, one must consent to lose sight of the shore for a very long time." It's a terrifying thing. I certainly understand. I'd much rather know where I'm going. I'd like to know where my light is leading me before I consent to follow, but that's not the rule of the game of faith. So what then, we might be wondering, is there to guide us as we go? Well, we have, first of all, the star, whatever it was that inspired us to begin our journey in the first place, the opportunity, the relationship, the dream, the loss, the pain. Its light is generally not enough to illumine the entire path, but it is sufficient for us to take the next step. And we should never underestimate the importance of taking the next step, no matter how small it seems. On her recent visit to Highland Park, Anne Lamott said that the key to life is taking the next step, one step at a time. She said, "The road to life is like driving in the dark. We often can only see the few feet in front of us illumined by the headlights of our car, but if we will trust each step of what we can see, then step after step, we will eventually be led home. Beyond the light itself, there are other sources that guide us, and sometimes they seem quite unlikely. The wise men's star, after all, led them first to Jerusalem, to the palace of Herod, a king who was, to say the least, something of a disappointment. In fact, without even talking to one another, the wise men knew immediately upon meeting him that he was not the one. Their star had brought them to a dead end, and so they asked Herod, of all people, if he knew of any other kings in the area. And it was a question that got his attention. He was frightened, so he quickly conferred with his priests and scribes, who confirmed that according to their scripture, there was to be a new king born in the city of Bethlehem. So Herod sent the wise men in search of the new king with a map to Bethlehem on the condition that they report back to him. Now, as we know, they had no intention of returning to his palace, but the amazing thing to notice here is that Herod had served as an instrument of their guidance. As Auden writes, for God's goodness, even sin is valid as a sign. We never know from where needed insight will come. And finally, perhaps most importantly, we are guided by the fellowship. The wise men had each other. We have each other. There is so much wisdom to be had in community. I read once that it was part of God's organizing genius to create us as one body, so that our hearts have other hearts, our eyes have other eyes, our ears have other ears, all to help us discern what it is that we have seen and that we have heard, all to guide us as we travel towards our own stars. My friends, every week we come here to worship, but also to commune. This is where we come to learn and pray and struggle together with what it means to be human, to be on journeys of ambiguous meaning, to follow the light of Christ. And Christ was quite clear that his followers were not to be alone, that in this life and on this path, we desperately need one another. So there we have it, Epiphany. An illuminating light, a call, a path, a life, a destination, all safe in the heart of God and given to us bit by bit as we do our part and accept both the invitation and our soul's transformation that the journey requires. Putting one foot in front of the other, trusting that this life and this path is given to us for a reason, that there's an offering for us in everything. And so, whatever the light may be, I urge you to follow the light. And while you may not know where it leads, be confident that you need not know everything to follow Christ. You need only to trust the invitations as they come and trust the one who extends them. Lead kindly, light, go the words of an ancient hymn. Lead thou me on. I do not need to see the distant shore. One step enough for me. Your light has come. Will you arise and will you follow?